3 Nephi, chapter 23, verse 1. And now, behold, I say unto you that ye ought to search these things. Yea, a commandment I give unto you, that ye search these things diligently, for great are the words of Isaiah. Well, this is the only place in Scripture where the Lord specifically gives a commandment to search the words of one of his holy prophets. Let's review quickly what Nephi, the son of Lehi, had to say about the writings of Isaiah. In 2 Nephi chapter 25, verse 1, he said, that the things which Isaiah had written were hard for many of his people to understand. It was the same for the Nephites at the time that Jesus gave this commandment to study the words of Isaiah, and it's difficult for us in our day also. Isaiah spake after a manner called prophesying among the Jews. Isaiah lived at a time when the works of the Jews were after the doings of darkness and abomination. The same in our day, the works of the peoples of the earth are after the manner of darkness and abomination. Isaiah's prophecies have to do with the uncovering and exposing of those works of darkness and abomination. In verse 3, he says that these things were uttered and prophesied that the people might know the judgments of God that have come up to that time upon the nations, and for those same judgments which are about to come upon the nations of the world in our day. The previous chapters in 3 Nephi, from 16 on up to the present, have talked in detail about the judgments to fall upon the Gentiles and the heathen nations of the earth. Verse 4, Nephi tells us that if you have the spirit of prophecy, then the words of Isaiah are plain, and that his soul delighteth in the plainness that the people may learn. And verse 7 of 2 Nephi 25, Nephi says that in the last days, when Isaiah's prophecies are being fulfilled, that men shall see and understand them with a surety and plainness as they come to pass. And in verse 8, Nephi said that the writings of Isaiah are of worth unto the children of men, and specifically unto those in the last days, quote, for in that day shall they understand them. The commandment that the Lord gives the Nephites in chapter 23 was given to them for us. Isaiah's words give insight into two things that are critical for any people to understand who have these words and read them. Number one, the cleansing tribulation period that comes before. Number two, the establishment of a Zion people. Every Zion society has been preceded by great cleansing and tribulation. Whether it was Enoch's Zion, Melchizedek's Zion, or the Nephite Zion that they are about to enter into in these verses we're studying, no Zion people ever came forth from peace and safety. Zion is always a tremendous travail prior to a birthing process where the people are born out of the fires of adversity and trial. Now, these people in 23 have already gone through their society cleansing experience. The labor pains of a Zion birth are now standing in the presence of their resurrected Lord, a terrestrial experience, and are in the beginning of a 200-year millennium-like experience, the Zion of the Nephite people. The Lord is emphasizing the importance of Isaiah here, not so much for them, but for us who will read these words. Remember that Nephi said in 2 Nephi 25 that Isaiah's words would be of particular benefit for those living in the latter days. Back to chapter 23, verse 2, for surely he spake as touching all things, concerning my people which are of the house of Israel. Therefore it must needs be that he must speak also to the Gentiles. The house of Israel was scattered by Gentiles, and will be gathered in the latter day through their instrumentality. Remember also that the blood of Israel in its scattered state is intermingled with the Gentile nations of the earth. Verse 3, and all things that he spake have been and shall be, even according to the words which he spake. 4, therefore give heed to my words, write the things which I have told you, and according to the time and the will of the Father, they shall go forth unto the Gentiles. The words that these Nephites are being commanded to write by the Lord at this time in 34 AD will be latter day scripture. Critical to understand the scattering and gathering of Israel in the latter days, and the role that the Gentile nations of the earth in those days will play in that great latter-day gathering. Do you realize that as we read these words spoken centuries ago, that they are in the news and being fulfilled daily before our eyes? We are those of the latter day who will understand Isaiah better than any people who have ever read his words, because his prophecy concerning the latter day is being fulfilled right now. Verse 5, and whosoever will hearken unto my words and repenteth and is baptized, the same shall be saved. That sentence right there defines the doctrine of Christ. Search the prophets, for many there be that testify of these things. You search for something which is hidden or lost. No one will ever understand the words of Isaiah and fulfill the commandment to search his words without fasting and prayer. Isaiah cannot be fully understood from the words of scholars and other mortal men. Searching the prophets and understanding their words can only come through personal revelation, or it comes not at all. Verse 6, and now it came to pass that when Jesus had said these words, he said unto them again, after he had expounded all the scriptures unto them which they had received, he said unto them, behold, other scriptures I would that ye should write, that ye have not. What does it mean to expound all the scriptures that they had received? Well, it certainly doesn't mean to do what we've been doing for the last year and a half with the Book of Mormon. The same term was used as the resurrected Savior met with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. In Luke 24, verse 17, it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. The word expound means to explain, to lay open the meaning, to clear out obscurity, to interpret. He could open to their eyes a vast amount of scriptural understanding by taking a scripture like Moses chapter 6, verse 63, and reading it to them. Quote, and behold, all things have their likeness, and all things are created and made to bear record of me, both things which are temporal and things which are spiritual, things which are in the heavens above and things which are on the earth, and things which are in the earth and things which are under the earth, both above and beneath. All things bear record of me. That one verse, from the point that he delivers it to the hearing of the people, would open up vast new panoramas of understanding by simply quoting that verse alone. A dozen scriptural passages quoted by the Master to these people would open up the purpose and the depth, understanding and wisdom into the doctrine of Christ, the plan of redemption, purpose of a probationary experience in mortality, the mission and ministry of the Holy Ghost, and the power and efficacy of the atonement of the Lord. These few scriptures uttered and discoursed upon by the Lord to a people filled with the power of the Holy Ghost would illuminate their minds in a short period of time. The purpose of all scripture and its message to the Father's children here in this world, to expound all scripture to them in this manner would not take a lengthy period of time. At the bottom of verse 6, the Lord said, "Other scriptures I would that ye should write that ye have not." Verse 7, "And it came to pass that he said unto Nephi, Bring forth the record which ye have kept." Verse 8, "And when Nephi had brought forth the records and laid them before him, he cast his eyes upon them and said," 9, "Verily I say unto you, I commanded my servant Samuel the Lamanite, that he should testify unto this people, that at the day that the Father should glorify his name in me, that there were many saints who should arise from the dead and should appear unto many and should minister unto them. And he said unto them, Was it not so?" Verse 10, "And his disciples answered him and said, Yea, Lord, Samuel did prophesy according to thy words, and they were all fulfilled." Verse 11, "And Jesus said unto them, How be it that ye have not written this thing, that many saints did arise and appear unto many, and did minister unto them?" There are several lessons to be learned here. One is the importance of recording what the Lord reveals. Anytime and everywhere where he has revealed himself to the people, they have always been commanded to write it down, to record their revelations. We have been counseled by our prophets to keep a journal of our lives. President Kimball was the first prophet I remember to emphasize the importance of journal keeping. In a talk called "Angels May Quote From It," given by President Kimball and printed in the New Era in 1975, after quoting these verses from 3 Nephi 23, said the following: "We urge our young people to begin today to write and keep records of all the important things in their own lives. Your own private journal should record the way you face up to challenges that beset you. Do not suppose life changes so much that your experiences will not be interesting to your posterity. Your own journal, like most others, will tell of problems as old as the world and how you dealt with them. What could you do better for your children and your children's children than to record the story of your life, your triumphs over adversity, your recovery after a fall, your progress when all seemed black, your rejoicing when you had finally achieved? Get a notebook, a journal that will last through all time, and maybe the angels may quote from it for eternity. Begin today and write in your goings and comings, your deepest thoughts, your achievements and your failures, your associations and your triumphs, your impressions and your testimonies. Remember, the Savior chastised those who failed to record important events." Samuel's prophecy was fulfilled in the old world, as recorded in Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 51, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent," this part right here, "and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose," verse 53, "and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, Jerusalem, and appeared unto many." Even though the Book of Mormon does not record that fulfillment in America, We can assume the same thing took place with those faithful men and women who have died in their covenants and merited a first resurrection coming forth. Notice the key word in this prophecy is that the saints should arise from the dead. In section 138 in the Doctrine and Covenants, prior to them coming forth from their graves, these men and women are defined in verse 18 as those captives in the spirit world who had been faithful. Verse 22, where these were, meaning the wicked, darkness reigned, but among the righteous, the faithful, there was peace. Up to verse 23, the saints rejoiced in their redemption. The definition of saint in the scripture are those who have entered into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ through baptism and have died faithfully within that covenant. These come forth in the first resurrection, the resurrection of the just. And those that Samuel's referring to here came forth in the morning of the first resurrection. The question arises as to why this was not recorded in their records. Oversight? Distraction? At any rate, it was not recorded for whatever reason, and even though it was fulfilled among this people, the record of that fulfillment was not had amongst them. Verse 12, and it came to pass that Nephi remembered that this thing had not been written. 13, and it came to pass that Jesus commanded that it should be written. Therefore it was written according as he commanded. Why was this thing such a critical part to the written record? The records of these Nephites and others throughout the world contain instruction and teachings concerning the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection reverses the effects of Adam's transgression, physical and spiritual death, upon his descendants to the latest generation. A written record that people had come forth from the grave after the Savior's resurrection is a witness of the truth and veracity of all that the holy prophets have taught concerning this sacred priesthood ordinance, the resurrection of the dead. We have a written record of Jesus coming forth from the dead. It would be critical to have a record witnessing that others came forth from the dead to fulfill promises made by the Father and the Son concerning Adam's posterity. Verse 14, and now it came to pass that when Jesus had expounded all the scriptures in one, which they had written, he commanded them that they should teach the things which he had expounded unto them. I'm reminded of the statement, all truth circumscribed into one great whole. If we could understand that statement, you could expound all scriptures in one in a relatively short period of time. It is my privilege to have people share with us, Margie and I, very sacred experiences that takes place with them. Most of these people we have never met personally, but they feel impressed to share these things with us, for the which we are very grateful. It ends up being additional witnesses to things that we understand and have experienced ourselves. Many times I will ask these persons, have you recorded these experiences? And I'm surprised at how often I hear, I have not. I have found that when we receive revelation from the Lord, it is critical that we record these revelations. I have gone back in my personal records and read things that took place months or years earlier and was astonished at how I had forgotten the details of these miraculous events. Sometimes Margie and I will go back through our personal journals together and share one with another And we will say, I don't remember that having taken place. How could I forget such a thing? Well, without them being recorded, they would be lost forever. We record everything that we receive from the Lord. We have also found that when we record these things, it witnesses unto the Father and the Son that we cherish what they give us and opens the door and the channel to receive much more. If we don't write these things down, in a way, it's as if we were saying, I don't value what you've just given me. My most cherished possession in this world is the record of those things I have been given by the Lord, especially over the last 4 years. We have all these things recorded and hard copy backups made of those recorded messages. May the Lord bless us to value what He gives to us. Listen to the words of Parley P. Pratt as he first found the Book of Mormon and began to read it. Quote, I opened it with eagerness and read its title page. I then read the testimony of several witnesses in relation to the manner of it being found and translated. After this, I commenced its contents by course. I read all day. Eating was a burden. I had no desire for food. Sleep was a burden when the night came, for I preferred reading to sleep. As I read, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and I knew and comprehended that the book was true, as plainly and manifestly as a man comprehends and knows that he exists. My joy was now full, as it were, and I rejoiced sufficiently to more than pay me for all the sorrows, sacrifices, and toils of my life. I soon determined to see the young man who had been the instrument of its discovery and translation. This discovery greatly enlarged my heart and filled my soul with joy and gladness. I esteem the book, or the information contained in it, more than all the riches of the world. Yes, I verily believe that I would not at that time have exchanged the knowledge I then possessed for the legal title to all the beautiful farms, houses, villages, and property in the whole state of New York. How valuable has that testimony been to millions who have read it and rejoiced in his witness! What a great loss it would have been to us if he had failed to record his feelings when he first held and read the Book of Mormon. May we begin now, if we have not already done so, to record the experiences we have with the Spirit as we receive personal revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, that our own personal experiences of passing through the refiner's fire, the great labor pains preceding the birth of the great Latter-day Zion, that these our personal experiences may be quoted by those in eternity, is my humble prayer for each one of us in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.